Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White, from VirginiaSports.com. Only two of our fall teams are still competing. Football plays for the ACC title Saturday night in Charlotte, and men's soccer plays Friday night at Klockner Stadium in the NCAA quarterfinals. My guest today is one of the leaders of George Galinovac's soccer team, and that's Henry Kessler. Henry, great to see you again. How's it going?
Thank you for having me. It's going well, very well.
So it's December. You and your teammates are still playing. There's only eight teams on the men's side who can still say that. This is what you put in all that off-season work for, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, correct. George has been saying it. It's been a goal of ours to reach the College Cup. Playing in December is a big deal as well. You have to be one of the final eight teams in order to do that. So we've come very far, and we're not ready to stop.
So on Tuesday, you and one of your teammates, Joe Bell, were named two of the 15 semifinalists for the MAC Herman Trophy, which is awarded each year to the top college soccer player in the U.S. First of all, congratulations on
that.
Second, did you see that coming?
George let me know, let Joe and I know, probably a couple hours in advance. So when we saw the list, we knew we were going to be on it.
But did you know you were even a candidate for it?
Like, in consideration, yeah. To be honest, I think that the way we've played, only seven goals conceded,
right,
defensively, we've been really good. I think I deserve to be on the list. Did I necessarily see it coming? Maybe not. Maybe not, because I generally think of these awards going to attacking players.
I was going to say, though, there are some defenders on the list too.
Yeah, right. There are a couple others, mostly outside backs. Actually, one on SMU, their number 12, who's a great player. But like guys that get forward, right? Because I think he's known for having 12 goals this year, which is incredible. But mostly it's defenders that are better going forward that are on that list. So
before we talk about the road that lies ahead for your team, I'll ask you about the UVA women's team, which had a sensational season that ended on a really unfortunate note with that loss here at Klockner to Washington State, which has actually gone on to reach the College Cup, which turned out to be really good. I know you know players on each team know each other. What was that like for the men to kind of see that happen?
It was obviously not ideal. None of us liked seeing them lose. They've only had two losses all season, that being one of them. And coach came in the next morning and said he couldn't believe it. He thought they were going to breeze until probably the Elite Eight.
Right.
And he used it for us as more of a wake-up call that, look, they've had an incredible year, but we don't want that to happen to us. And I understand they were shorthanded without Laurel and Phoebe. But we were devastated for them. But in terms of how we used it for ourselves, we wanted to avoid that because they've had an incredible year, and they deserved better, really.
So you guys play Southern Methodist University, better known to sports fans as SMU, Friday night at Klockner. The winner will move on to the College Cup. Do you have a scouting report on SMU?
We do. It's a team that counters very, very quickly. So between their front three, they have two center attacking mids that play underneath their striker, which is number seven. Mm-hmm. And we've identified that this group attacking-wise is very good. Like we mentioned earlier, their right wing back, mm-hmm, who's on the Mac Herman list, is very good as well. So attacking, they're exceptional. Again, they've scored a lot of goals in the country. Doesn't matter what conference you play in, that's impressive. So that's something that we're aware of. And hopefully we can push them back to the point where we limit those opportunities. But that's mostly the report that we've gotten so far.
In each of your first two games in this NCAA tournament, the opponent had a big-time scoring threat that your defense neutralized. Campbell had the forward, or I don't know if he was a midfielder, but I think he had 18 goals, and then St. John's had someone who was in double digits too. Are you very conscious of the opponent's personnel and specific players in a case like that and kind of always know where that guy is or guys?
Yeah, 100%. Before the game, coach told us, you know, keep track of number 18. So that was the Campbell game, number 18. Like a guy that likes to hold it up, distribute, and then make runs in the box. So we were very conscious of him against St. John's. It was their number 14, I want to say, who was Big East Offensive Player of the Year. So they really ingrain in our brains that these guys are talented players, very gifted players, and that they can do damage if not kept track of.
In practice, I know football, American football is a little different, where the first team offense and the first team defense are not always going head to head. In practice, soccer is a different animal. Are you matched against Daryl DK and your forwards a lot in practice? And what makes him such a force out there?
Not as much as I would like to be, actually, because he's very challenging to guard. But so sometimes I get to play against him, which is great because I think it makes me a better player, but sometimes not. What makes him such a force? His strength. I think he's probably the most physical player in college soccer. He's an absolute beast. His hold-up play is really good, but his shooting ability is also very good, as he showed against Maryland and other goals that were very technical finishes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, and other people have said that it's easy to kind of get caught up in his strength, and you forget that he's a very skilled player, too.
Exactly,
he's had some incredible assists this year, too.
Oh, for sure, yeah. He leads our team in goals, and I think he also leads our team in assists. So, yeah.
In 21 games this season, Virginia is 19-1-1. As you mentioned, you've allowed only 7 goals. How big a deal are the clean sheets for the defense, you know, and your keeper, Colin Shuttler? Is that something you kind of articulate before the game
the
game?
Yeah, it's something we write on the board before the game, before every game. Clean sheet, clean sheet, clean sheet. And it's not just a big deal for the back four, but it's really a big deal for the whole team. And that's what our coaches have told us, is that we need everyone to help the other team not score, to help prevent those goals. So whether it's Nat tracking back on the wing, which he does really well, Daryl pressuring center backs, in the midfield, Joe, Daniel, Cozy getting around it. It's everyone, really. But the back four, we definitely take pride in it, for sure.
Your first two seasons here, you're in your third year in the program. Your first two seasons here, George used a 3-man back line. Mm-hmm. This year, he's shifted to a 4-man back line. What's that meant for you? I mean, is it coincidence that the defense has been so good this year?
Last year, we started very well, too, and that was in a 3-back. I think, like, towards the end of the year, we gave up 3 against Wake Forest, and that hurt. But we were still a good defensive team last year. It's different. My first year when I played, which wasn't all the time, was mostly right center back of a 3-back, and you can be very aggressive in a 3-back. You really step whenever someone checks off the line. But in a 4-back, you can't be as aggressive all the time because you only have 2 central defenders. But having said that, the system's worked very well. It's just different. It's just a little different.
George calls you and Andreas Ulin the best center back tandem in the country. Andreas is in his first year here. He's from Norway. What's it been like playing with him? Do you guys compliment? It seems you complement each other well.
Yeah, I think so.
In terms of playing style.
I think so. I think we're both good on the ball, both good defensively. He is very good aerially as well. So I think we definitely, the chemistry is there, and I think we definitely complement each other. We've shown that. I think we've done well so far.
He had 2 goals against St. John's last weekend. He's got 3 for the season. You have 1 goal that you scored against Duke. Was that, I just went back and watched the video highlight of that to kind of refresh my memory. Was that a special moment for you?
No, I was
left-footed too.
Very
right?
Happy. Yeah, left foot goal, connected. I might not have been the cleanest of strikes, but was very happy to get a goal and against the then number 2 country.
Duke was 2. Yeah,
number 2 in the country. Yeah, so very happy to get that goal, and I think we were down 1-0 too. So I was elated. And Andreas, like I said, great in the air, and he scored 2 headers against St. John's, which really helped us.
The College Cup is back in Cary, North Carolina this year. That's where UVA won its 6th and 7th NCAA titles, I guess, in 2009 and 2014. This team won the ACC title in Cary last month, so you all have some familiarity with the pitch. Is that even an additional incentive to get back there, knowing that it's a, you know, someplace you'd have some comfort with?
Yeah, 100%. I think the facilities there are great. Locker room, fantastic. Field was great. And we were missing Joe Bell at the time.
Yeah.
So now we have one, arguably our best player back. I think the comfort level will be even higher having played there. And that's something we're looking forward to. Hope we get back to Cary.
You were named the MVP of the ACC tournament. Those awards often go to the players who score the goals. What was it like to get that award? And when they called your name, I mean, did you have any heads up on that, or were you taken aback?
I was given a heads up by Coach George, I want to say 5 minutes before. So I knew it was I expected to make the team of the tournament. I did not expect to win MVP of the tournament. As you said, they usually give it to attacking players. But I was very grateful to have won it.
So you have a fascinating backstory. You're from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. You came to UVA in January 2017 with an associate's degree in hand, and not because you were transferring from a junior college.
No, yeah.
You got that in high school,
I
right?
got that in high school,
Tell our listeners about your high school that you went to and how that whole program works.
Right. So starting in middle school. So in New York City, you have to apply to schools. So it's not like
public schools. Yeah.
Exactly, public schools. So it's not your zoned school that you go to, you apply. So the process was to Bard High School Early College, that's the high school that I attended. I had to take a test.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on how you scored on the test, you had an interview, and then you would hear back from the interview. So it's a two-part process. After that, I had received notice that I had been accepted. The acceptance rate to the school is, I think, less than Harvard's.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very selective. And then once you're in the school, your first 2 years are high school, really. And the way it's structured is that you get most of your requirements out of the way. So the last 2 years, you can focus on getting your associate's degree from Bard College. So essentially graduated from high school in 2 years, and then the last 2 years were focused on getting the associate's
degree. So how many
degree.
Credits did you come here, or how many credits did UVA accept?
So 48.
Okay.
48, yeah.
So you got a nice little head start.
Yeah, good head start, yeah.
And what did you end up majoring in here?
American Studies, so it's a multidimensional major that's part history, part literature, focused on American.
So you are not the only athlete in your family. Your brother Reed is a first year on the men's soccer team here. Your father, who grew up in Westfield, New Jersey with my buddy Mike Dillon. Your dad played lacrosse and football at Harvard, and your mom played lacrosse at Villanova. You ever try those sports, football and or lacrosse?
Never. Don't have a background in either of those sports. I think lacrosse would have been fun. Having said that, I think soccer is the sport for me. I sometimes would play catch with my dad, but it's not really a sport in New York. Lacrosse is not common. Long Island, yes.
Yeah.
But the city, no, it doesn't really exist. Football is the same. It doesn't really exist.
Well, when you think of New York City, you think of skyscrapers. You don't think of big green areas for
right.
soccer pitches. Did you play soccer near your home, or were you always kind of going someplace else?
So I would say when I was younger, you're able to play closer to home. I have my favorite field in the city is Pier 40.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do to find space is they start building into the rivers to make fields. So this is on the Hudson River, and it's a field that is elevated with a view of the Freedom Tower. I think it's amazing. So that's where I played growing up. But after 12, once you start getting into academy,
mm-hmm.
that's when I had to start traveling further.
So you were
city.
In the Red Bulls Academy, mm-hmm. but then I think you've told me a couple of years ago that they maybe did not see you as...
They didn't see me as someone that had the potential to maybe be on their first team, so it didn't work out.
So what path did you take to Virginia? Because I guess at least at that point you weren't considered a big-time recruit as
yeah.
such.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate. So after Red Bulls, which I wasn't playing my U16 year, which is the ideal recruiting right. year, so I had to leave, went to Beachside, a team in Connecticut, and you talk about commutes. It took me 2.5 hours to get there, 2.5 hours to get back. So that was brutal, especially in high school.
Yeah.
But so I did that and was receiving offers, but, you know, I really knew that I wanted to play for an elite program. Mm-hmm. So decided to what I wanted to do was take a full gap year and join a residency, whether that be Philadelphia Union or something like that, so I could train twice a day, right. something like that, and really improve. And that's something I talked about with the coaches when they identified me as someone that could play for this program. And they said, you know what, we want you to come in January and just take that semester off. And so I came in January, and I think I've never looked back.
But they, you know, you were kind of late on the UVA's radar, weren't
yeah.
you? I think George has said he saw you at a showcase event, but maybe did. I think he told me he was there to
look
at someone else.
He was there to look at someone else is the story that I know, and happened to see me. That game, I was actually playing right back, and Terry Boss, then assistant coach, called my head coach and said, can this guy play center back? And my coach said, yeah, he is a center back, actually, so it worked out quite well.
How strong is kind of the lure of what this program has done? I mean, you wear every time you put on the gear, you have the crest with the 7 stars, one for each NCAA title. You know, I've talked to other players about this. You guys are all kind of keenly aware of the tradition of the program, right? And what it's done in the past.
For sure, for sure. It has a bunch of history. You know, when you have alumni come back that never lost a postseason game, that's something that really resonates with me. You have guys that went 4 years of college, never lost an NCAA tournament game, which is unheard of. So when you have history like that, you have to play up to the expectations of the program.
So your first season here, the fall of 2017, you were a reserve. You appeared in 12 games. I think you averaged about 30 minutes a game in those appearances. Did that test your patience? You know, you would come in January, so you went through spring with the team, or mm-hmm. or did you think it would take a while to kind of break into a full-time role?
So I still believe that I could have played in that team to this very day. I think that I should have been playing. Having said that, coming into the program, you know, I knew that might be the case. Being a great program, who doesn't want to come here? So it did test my patience, and that was probably my toughest semester here at school, because not playing, everyone wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the number one criteria, is that you have to play. And because I firmly believe that you have to play to get better. So with that in mind, that was a tough semester. But from there on out, I've played almost every minute. And this season, every minute. So now I can't complain.
Your brother, as I mentioned, is first year on the team. He's a back as well. Have you had to kind of – he has not played this season. And, you know, if things go the way that Ben, he'll end up redshirting this year. I know the coaches are really high on him, but have you had to kind of help him see the big picture of this say that, you know, your day is coming, it just may not come as quickly as you'd like?
Right, it's frustrating. So for him, it's frustrating. Obviously, I want my brother to do well too, so for me, it's frustrating. But I think he can look at what happened to me, and I didn't play much my first year. And he can look at the progressions that I've made and say the same thing can happen for me. So I think there's a model there. I also use DeAndre Hunter mm-hmm. as an example, you know, a guy that redshirted and then was the 4th pick overall
right.
his 2 years later. So things like that can happen, and I don't see why that can't happen for him.
So your brother went to high school at Brooklyn Technical, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So what's the focus there? Is that's another public school that you applied to?
Yeah, so that is a specialized high school, maybe regarded as better than the high school that I went to. It's a really, really good school, the biggest in the country, actually. And so I was more of a liberal arts type person. Mm-hmm. He's more technical, math and science oriented, so that was the school for him. So he went, and I think it really helped him. Phenomenal student. He's a really, really smart guy. Did really well there and ended up at the same place as me, which is great.
So our men's soccer program is something of a melting pot in terms of the nationalities represented on the team. You have teammates with roots in Germany, New Zealand, Jamaica, Scotland, England, Norway, Sweden, Zimbabwe, and other African countries. Has being part of this team expanded your worldview?
Being from New York, I kind of think I already had that.
Yeah.
But for some guys that don't come from such a diverse background, that, yes, it is eye-opening. Even for me, you know, dealing with different types of people every day in high school or middle school, you know. In my high school, I was actually a minority, which is, you know, almost hard to believe. But, yeah, so I think for many it is eye-opening.
So I think I asked Robin Famafuna about this, that can things get lively in the locker room when the countries are playing internationals against each other or the World Cup? Because you got a lot of, you know, traditional powers represented too.
Yeah, for sure. I think whenever someone's country plays another teammate's country, it does get a little feisty. But for the most part, it's civil. But 100% everyone wants to support their country.
Speaking of feisty, you have been known to display a little bit of a temper on the field.
This is true.
You have to throttle that back, remind yourself to, I'm sure the coaches, particularly when you get a yellow and
right.
You don't want to get that second yellow.
Yeah, this is true. So last year was much more card heavy than this year. So I ended up leading the ACC in cards with one red and five yellows. So after the season, you know, I always ask, what can I improve on? One of the things George mentioned was, you know, probably not getting as many cards because I faced one suspension and was close to a second. So that's something that I've definitely worked on and maybe taken less unnecessary risks, whether that's with slide tackles or something of that sort. But this year I only have three yellow cards, which is much, much better.
Well, I hope tomorrow night there's a victory to show and no cards.
Me too.
Anyway, thanks so much. I know like this is a crazy month for you. Hopefully it'll be a memorable month too and get a few more wins.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned earlier, Henry and his teammates play SMU on Friday night at Klockner with a College Cup berth on the line. There's also a key men's basketball game in town this weekend, Sunday at JPJ against North Carolina. Several other teams are competing out of town, with football headlining that group down in Charlotte. For information and schedules on all our teams, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos!